Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Broadcasting live from the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
Armstrong and Getty.
And now, here's Armstrong and Getty.
Live from Studio C.
Please, in your...
A, a dimly lit room deep within the bowels of the... Armstrong and Getty Communications Compound. Today, Tuesday, we're under the tutelage of our general manager.
The United States soccer team. The pride of a nation.
And we're playing today?
Playing against the evil Iranians. I've been saying Iran since I was in college studying foreign policy.
I'm an Iran. Okay? I'm an Iran man.
Which is fine. But I've been saying Iran now for 30 plus years. I'm tempted to go back to Iran just because an Iranian journalist practically cussed out one of our players for saying Iran instead of Iran.
Oh, really?
Just bullied him.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, how about you quit shooting down children in the street, scumbag? Iranian?
With apologies to our Iranian listeners and friends.
Yeah, I worry about oligarchs codifying raids while they gaslight cancel culture. That's what I'm worried about. I found a way to work in all of the words of the year into one sentence.
Folks like you, I was wondering where the hell that was going.
I found a way to work in all the words of the year, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and we'll look into those a little bit later.
And well done.
And a nonsensical sentence. So, yeah. So USA, Iran today. What time does that happen?
I keep forgetting. What is it? 1 o'clock.
Michael,
Eastern,
you looked that up yesterday.
10 o'clock Pacific.
I believe it was 2 p.m. Eastern time. But I will check. Okay. I know it's 11 a.m.
You know what? That
here.
Sounds right. Yeah.
When does the action start?
You can't figure out your own time zone. You're too dumb.
When does
to
the
figure
action,
out what channel is on?
The action doesn't actually ever start if you watch soccer. So when does the action start?
It wow.
doesn't really. But to,
wow, that's anti-soccerism or something. Yeah. That triggered somebody. Are you gaslighting me?
So is there anything to the Iran-United States match? I mean, does it internationally? I don't mean soccer-wise. I know it's lose and go home for the United States. We can't tie or anything. We got to actually win or we're done.
Yeah, it's interesting. There are reports that seem pretty well, you know, researched and reported that said a lot of Iranians want the team to lose because the team is tied to the Republican Guard and the mullahs. They're the golden boys of the regime, and so they want them to lose because, you know, a great and glorious win would glorify the regime. Now, I don't know if that's like 20% of Iranians or 80% or what.
Mm.
But there's that. Plus, pro and anti-regime Iran soccer fans have been beating on each other in Qatar there. So that's interesting.
There are pro-Iranian regime soccer fans?
Sure, of course, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they... Again, read The Dictator's Handbook. It's absolutely a fabulous book. But it, yeah, they are part of the power elite that the money flows to through the government, the Republican Guard, whatever. Yeah, they're the in crowd.
Gotcha.
It is 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific. I confirm.
Then the nonstop action begins. Edge of your seat excitement from the opening, whatever they do, to the closing. What's it?
It'll be a 0-0 tie.
To the random point they tell you the game is over.
Well, and then the ref announces, yeah, we're going to play for 5 more minutes. And you're like, all right.
I guess. I don't know. I did see some reports on the evening newscasts last night about players' families being threatened at home if their family member doesn't sing the national anthem with great vigor on the field because some of the Iranian players had been not.
Yeah, they were told, we will jail and torture your family members if you don't come correct on the soccer field. So that's just beautiful.
Yeah. I could certainly see how... As your average Iranian, you'd think, I don't want the team to do well and make it look like we're successful at anything. This is a miserable place to be.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. Well, I'm just as a patriot, I'd like to see the U.S. win anyway, although I could analyze our chances at length if you'd like.
So I didn't know this till yesterday.
Evidently, he would not like. Go on.
I didn't know this till yesterday. One of the biggest... Trump supporting talk show hosts in America was Sid Rosen. Is that his last name? Who used to, many years ago, he was a sports guy on Imus's show, and then he got his own radio show with Bernie, also from Imus's show. Bernie died a couple weeks ago. Anyway, Sid is the morning guy on a New York radio station. Why do I bring this up? The only reason I bring it up is he is one of the biggest Trump fans in America. Which is kind of interesting in New York. I mean, he seems to do really well in the radio world. And even though I think 4 out of 5 people in New York are Democrats, you know, there's still a big enough chunk of people that want to listen to a different point of view to keep you in business, apparently. But anyway, he thinks he has had enough with Trump allowing Kanye to come and have dinner with him. And so I'm just wondering, you know, we've been wondering since the election. I mean, the bloom was off the rose. I don't know if that's the right expression here after the midterms. But, man, the whole, I wonder if there was another level of really from a certain crowd of you who are still standing by Donald Trump when he has Kanye come have dinner with him. It just seems like inviting controversy.
Well, if it were only Kanye, who is demonstrably crazy, and I'm starting to wonder whether he's beyond bipolar. I wonder if he has schizophrenia, because I've got a transcript of some things he said on a recent podcast, and it's just loopy. It sounds like a schizophrenic
person.
Well,
I told you, I don't know how many people actually watched him on Tucker Carlson, because he was on Tucker for like a half an hour, uninterrupted. And I think Tucker ran it twice that week. I actually watched it. You couldn't make sense of any of it.
Right. You said that. I remember.
Yeah. I mean, it just made no sense.
Well, and we get emails semi-regularly from a handful of listeners who suffer from schizophrenia, and Kanye reminds me very much of them. But anyway, if it were only crazy Kanye, that would be one thing. But he brought this Nick Fuentes character with him, who I dug into it enough because the freaking New York Times and NPR and everybody, the New Yorker will call anybody a white supremacist if they're to the right of, you know, Mitt Romney. So I actually looked into it, and this smug little piece of crap is just, he's rotten. He's a rotten human being. He is absolutely an anti-Semite, Holocaust denier. He's just one of those smug, young, mouthy type activist types. That's too many types. Anyway, so the idea that Trump entertained Kanye and this dude at dinner, all of his, not all of, many of his most notable Jewish followers are like, hey, thanks for the whole moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Thanks for all your pro-Israeli stuff. But no, we're done. We're through here.
Well, I'm willing to take Trump at his word that he had never heard of Nick Fuentes and didn't know who he was. But I'm willing to go with the, who's the guy who's on The Daily Show?
Now, Trevor Noah?
Trevor Noah. The Trevor Noah joke was something along the lines of, I didn't know the anti-Semite that the other known anti-Semite brought with him. I mean, because he got Kanye out there. You know, he lost $2 billion in 1 week with his various anti-Jew, going to go DEFCON 3 on the Jews stuff.
Right.
You say, you did know who he was. See, that's the problem to me. It's not the, did he know Nick Fuentes? Did he not? How do you allow him to stay? You sat down knowingly with Kanye. What? Why would you do that if you're running for president?
Yeah, you know, there was a blip of time when the story first broke that I thought, you know, that's one of the reasons Trump won. And that's one of the endearing things about him is that his buddy Kanye, who's a little crazy, shows up for dinner. He brings a bud with him. All right, you're a friend of mine.
Yeah, I get
and
it.
And he's not so carefully groomed
I get it.
And spun and fake and the rest of it. But I don't know. That actually, I thought that Trevor Noah line was pretty damned insightful.
Right, right.
I didn't know the guy who came to dinner was an anti-Semite. Brought by the guy I absolutely know is an anti-Semite. Yeah, it's just and you know, some Trump fans will stick with him till the end, but that just shows astoundingly bad judgment.
Yeah, I don't think Trump is an anti-Semite or anything like that, or would, you know, it just makes things always so much more complicated than they need to be. If you're wanting to win, if you're wanting to actually win a general election.
Yeah, Trump no longer has the feel of a winner to many, many supporters.
Anyway, so, God. And Kanye's campaign manager, because Kanye announced for president.
Yes.
Kanye's campaign manager is our old friend Milo Yiannopoulos. Who maybe we could get him on the show, or would that be a poison? Would that
somebody
we get fired
was calling
for
him an anti-Semite in an article I was reading about Kanye, and I don't know what Milo said. Yeah. I haven't really been paying attention to him for several years. So if he said something loathsome, I disavow.
Right.
Now, I understand Kanye asked Trump to be his Veep.
Right, which Trump was offended by. Didn't like. And told right. Kanye not to run, but anyway.
Too much crazy, all right? Go sell crazy somewhere else. We're all full up here.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Anyway, let's start the show officially, because that's going to bring its own, at least teasing, to another conversation. I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty on this Tuesday, November 29th, the year 2022. We are Armstrong and Getty, and we approve of this program.
Let's begin then officially, according to FCC rules and regulations. Here we go at Mark.
Nor has our record of human rights abuses come up either. People in China didn't ask me about, people owning AR-15s and mowing each other down in a mall.
So who's that? That is the coach of the world champion Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr. And he was asked a question. You know, the NBA has been trying to expand in China and get that market going for a very, very long time. And so they've been pretty damn soft on China. And he was asked about the abuses of the people in the streets in China and blah, 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 blah. And had he been asked about it and blah, blah, blah. He said, yeah, no, I wasn't asked about that. And also, the Chinese didn't ask me about our abuses of our people. Oh, whatever. We'll play you the whole thing a little bit later. But, geez, that sort of moral equivalence game. With a country like China that has a million slaves? Oh, my God. They're committing a genocide? And for him to act like the United States is no better? which is more or less exactly what he said.
No freedom of speech, no right to assembly. It's disgusting. Steve Kerr, you are so brutally misguided. My God, for an intelligent man, you come off as a freaking moron.
That is really something. Anyway, we'll play more of that a little bit later. That is just absolutely unfreaking believable. Wow. How does mailbag look?
It's good. It's okay.
Yeah. Wow, it went from good to okay very quickly. That was a quick slide.
They're kind of the same, aren't they?
Okay. We have much on the way. We'll update you on what is happening in China and a bunch of the other news, some economic news about Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and today is Giving Tuesday and all that stuff. Coming up, our text line, 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
We'll get to the words of the year coming up later this hour, but there's some funny stuff around that. It's just hilarious.
Indeed, here's your freedom-loving quote of the day. Great Frederick Douglass. If you ever want to read a great book about Frederick Douglass, Tim Sandifer wrote a terrific one. Our friend Tim the lawyer. Frederick Douglass said, "Knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave."
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. I read reminds a book, me of that. Go ahead.
I read a book about Buster Douglas. That's a different thing, right? A
very different story. Different man. I've been thinking a lot about that editorial piece of writing in the Wall Street Journal by a black economist who said it's utterly clear and indisputable that what separates the results in the workplace among the races is preparedness for being in the workplace. And that we've got to send the message every single day to young people, especially young black people, that the deck is not stacked against you. In fact, if you pour your time and energy into education, it will pay off for you more than other people. Education means everything. Preparedness for life means everything. Go get it. Mailbag. You can email us mailbag@armstrongandgetty.com. I got this one from Robert. We were talking about people who work on Thanksgiving. Listening to you dopes talking about people working on Thanksgiving is ridiculous. You take off 3 days before and 3 days after every holiday. Lazy a-holes. Thank you for that commentary, you sad little man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's no chance, like, we have a contract that says how much time we get off and decide when we want to take it. No, we're lazy a-holes. Okay. There's no chance we've been, like, making scads of money for giant corporations for many years. And we get more time off than people who are in their 20s. No, we're lazy a-holes. Thank you again for the clarity, sir, of your commentary. Got this from James. Can I purchase a transcript of your commentary from yesterday about the sharp decline in face-to-face human connections? You know, we don't have transcripts, James. We can barely keep the train on the tracks, much less, you know, have a transcript of its travels. But certainly you can grab the podcast, Armstrong and Getty On Demand. Listen to it over and over again. Zap around the link to your friends, whatever you would like to do. But thank you for your kind words there by implication. Got this from my friend Mike on that same topic. He says, I think another factor regarding connectedness and not seeing family during the holidays is that the younger generation truly has a lot more contempt for the older generations. We didn't have that growing up. We wanted to see our elders. Maybe we didn't agree with everything that they thought, but we loved them and respected them and had a kinship towards them that I don't see the younger kids having.
I'm going to tell everyone about how shitty you are.
In short, yeah, some do, but many truly do not care for their parents or their grandparents because social media and their schools have made it clear that these are evil generations that have caused most of the problems.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I feel like my whole life I've been hearing that kids today don't care about the older crowd like they used to. So I don't know. Is that just an ongoing problem? I don't know.
Let's see. Then it's getting too self-referential. Let's move on to this one. Oh, Rich in beautiful Green, Oregon says, U.S. soccer, 0 wins, 0 losses, 2 ties. So exciting.
I agree.
Now, Rich, in defense of our national team, they have scored one goal in two games.
Oh,
so
wow.
That is exciting.
And that's like 3 or 4 hours of play? Oh, my God. If you miss an hour of the show, get the podcast Armstrong and Getty on demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Word of the year for 2022 from Merriam-Webster is gaslighting.
Let's talk about gaslighting.
Gaslighting.
A term that's used widely in popular culture.
The act or practice of grossly misleading someone.
Gaslighting is one of the worst forms of manipulation.
Make you feel like you're the problem.
You said I'm gaslighting you.
Gaslighting is a manipulation tactic.
There you go, making things up again.
That's used to make you question your own reality.
You must be insane.
Gaslighting is not real. You're just crazy.
So I decided I'm going to start gaslighting you.
Going to start gaslighting me?
That's not what I said.
That certainly was the...
That last part was great.
It certainly was the word I was the sickest of at the end of the year, so I guess that kind of makes it the word of the year, Merriam-Webster's Dictionary's word of the year. So I was wanting to do this segment and look at some of the other words, you know, that made like the top 10 words of the year or whatever, and so I Googled it. And one of the, you know, when you Google it, gives you some other common questions people are asking or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
Suggestions. One of the top one is, what are some good words for 2022? Who's Googling that? Like you're going to a holiday party and you're thinking, well, honey, I need some new words. All I got's last year's words.
What did you think of 2022, Jim?
Oh, I got no words.
Here are the words for you. Moron. Paste eater, dunderpate.
If you have to
Google what are some good words for this year. Anyway, I think we all know what I don't know when I learned gaslighting. It was sometime in the last year, 18 months. I was unaware of the term, I think. Psychological manipulation of a person, usually over an extended period of time, that causes the victim to question the validity of their own thoughts, perception, reality, or memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's horribly overused, and we seem to get by without it for a very long time. It's not a new phenomenon.
It's subtly different from lying. It's an interesting concept, though.
It is, it comes from a play, but and we've talked about it before, and I don't want to talk about it again. But it is, as it says here, it's more insidious than just lying. It's an attempt to make you, doubt your own judgment.
I love that last clip. I'm going to start gaslighting you. You're going to gaslight me? I didn't say that.
That is funny. That is funny. I mean, you got to admit. So Merriam-Webster is one of the more famous dictionaries in the world, right? And it logs 100 million page views a month on its site. And it chooses its word of the year based solely on the data of the searches it gets. That's where it comes up with it. I'm not sure that's the best way to do it. I think you should go with maybe the most impactful or something.
So you want them to step in and put their thumb on the scales, do you? Activist? Censor?
They weed out evergreen words most commonly looked up to gauge which word received a significant bump over the year before, making new appearances and that sort of thing. And they don't get into why people look up words. Sometimes it might be spelling. For instance, they think that a lot of people who looked up gaslighting might have been trying to find out if it's one word or two because they were going to use it in print. But, you know, that doesn't surprise me that many, many people heard that term since it was omnipresent in politics to think, what the hell does that mean?
Till you were sick of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was in the top 50 lookups the entire year. And was very popular. Last year's word of the year, by the way, was vaccine, with a lot of people looking that up, I guess, wanting to know what is it, a vaccine exactly. Rounding out this year's top 10, though.
You know, I looked up vaccine because I have friends and coworkers and people I value who had a misperception of what the word vaccine means or immunity. And there were the subtleties of that were lost in the weird Trumpified tribal arguments over everything COVID.
Yeah, well, I don't want to get off on this topic, but there's a new book out about the origin of COVID and all that sort of stuff and how the vaccine was oversold and treated like other vaccines that we grew up with that actually did the sorts of things that this vaccine does not.
To claim otherwise would be some serious gaslighting.
Yeah.
So I decided I'm going to start gaslighting you.
You're going to start gaslighting me?
That's not what I said.
That is good. So the other top 10 words of the year.
You know, the Gen Z vocal fry in that made it even better.
Oligarch, driven by Russia's invasion of Ukraine, looked up by a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Omicron. Okay.
Greek letter.
Codify, as in turning abortion rights into federal law.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't understand why it's not codify. It's always bothered me. It's codify.
If you say codify, I am not going to get in your face.
I'm not either. I'd be all for you trying to change it. Good on you. Keep it going.
Yes. Maybe that's my new activist stance.
Yeah. I would never have looked at
this. What does codify mean? Make it more like a cod. Right. What the hell does that mean?
I would have never looked this up, but apparently a lot of people wondered what King Charles's wife, Camilla, newly known as a queen consort, what that means.
Mm.
All right. This one had a specific dictionary definition that everybody was wondering about. Raid, as in the search of former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. Was that a raid or not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that tempest in a, I don't know, maybe not a teapot. Maybe one of those big, like, pots you use for pasta. Bigger than a teapot.
Sentient made the list because of Google, some engineer claiming that AI had become sentient. And everybody went, what the hell is sentient? What counts as sentient?
We need to codify sentience, lest we be gaslighted.
Cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
LGBTQIA, for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, or questioning intersex, and asexual, aromatic, or agender.
What's aromatic? That means you smell nice.
I'm sorry, I mispronounced that. Yes.
Is that a group now? Are they demanding the pleasant smelling are now marching and demanding their rights?
Aromantic. So non-romantic, not a romantic.
Hey, how about we strike this deal? You go do whatever you want. You love whoever you want. And you shut up. Do your job. You know, live your life. Anybody violates your rights, tell me about it. And I'll fight on your side. I absolutely will. But meanwhile, I don't need to know who you're sexing up. I don't care.
Well, I assume...
Including if it's nobody.
I assume aromantic's got nothing to do with sex at all. It's just... It's a romance thing, isn't it?
aggressive scent.
Or, no, that's back to aromatic. No, I think it's like asexual.
Well, agender is a different word.
All right, again, with the narcissism of small distinctions, maybe we can make that the term of the year for 2023. It's people are desperate for attention, and so they find a way in which they're slightly different from other people and trumpet it constantly. It's obnoxious. It's adolescent. Stop it.
Boy, that one of the many horrifying shootings that's happened over the last week, a guy went and shot up that gay nightclub. That was a giant story for like 48 hours of, Republican, gay-hating, trans-hating, right-leaning, blah, blah, blah. Until the guy who shot up the nightclub announced he was non-binary, then that story went away immediately.
Yeah, nothing to see here, folks. Let's just keep moving. Now it's just a gun story. Oh, yeah, boy, did he have a screwed-up childhood.
I hadn't heard about
just
it.
Just tragic.
Yeah, I don't want to. God, that's terrible. Terrible. Back to the words of the year in the top 10. Loamy. L-O-A-M-Y. What? Because Wordle users tried back in August, the correct word was clown, but somehow everybody came up with loamy. I don't play Wordle or know how it works, but apparently that day's Wordle was a big enough deal to make the top 50 or top 10 words of the year. Loamy.
Missed it. Yeah. Huh.
I guess, I believe loamy is just a dirt that has a lot of loam in it.
Yeah. L-O-A-M-Y?
Yeah.
Okay.
In September, Merriam-Webster announced new words added to the dictionary, which they do every year, which included adorkable, which is now actually a word in the dictionary. MacGyver. I'm going to MacGyver this.
I like both of those. I'm fine with both of those.
Shrinkflation, which already should have been a word and is definitely a phenomenon. Mm-hmm. That's in the dictionary now. And yeet. I feel like I remember that coming up. My kids know yeet. I don't remember what it is, though.
Delaney May, my daughter, who is now 23, introduced yeet to me several years ago.
And that is,
it's hilarious. It essentially means leave. I'm going to yeet. I'm going to yeet out of here.
Oh, okay.
If I think there may be subtleties to it that I missed, but yeah, it's kind of funny.
In the slang category, which is its own category in the dictionary, new additions include janky, which should be a word. That shouldn't just be in the slang category. Yeet's a word, but janky is slang. Come on.
What's the difference between slang and not slang?
I don't know, but janky's pretty common at this point, I feel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of very poor quality is what janky means. Mm-hmm. Sus, which my kids use every single day, suspicious or suspect.
Yeah, that's just cutesy. I don't know. Some of them bother me, some don't. That one bothers me.
And look, but this seems like more of an imprint sort of a word, or look. Look, L-E-W-K, that's a fashion look that is distinctive to the wearer and then is noticeable and memorable to others, like your Luke.
Wow, I'm totally out of the loop on that, which is not surprising if you know me.
Last year, abbreviations like...
I do not have a Luke.
They have abbreviations in the dictionary, of course. Last year, abbreviations like TBH, to be honest, FTW, for the win. Okay, I've never seen or used that one, were added. Pop culture terms like fox hot, F-A-U-X-A-A-W-K, fox hawk. I don't know what that is.
What?
And dad bod.
Like faux hawk?
Faux hawk?
Oh, that's yeah.
Oh,
that's
the hair. Okay,
the hair thing. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know it was spelled that way. Dad bod, clearly. This should be in the dictionary.
I'm a dad. I got a bod.
Thank
what do you
God.
Want?
Thank God in the United States, and I'm wrapping this up if you're getting tired of it.
Not at all.
Thank
it's
God,
charming.
Thank God in the United States we use Merriam-Webster's dictionary and not the Oxford Collins English Dictionary, which recently announced their word of the year is permacrisis, which seems a little too serious. But that's a pretty good one, actually, which defines an extended period of instability and insecurity, which we're all living in, a permacrisis.
That's funny. I interpreted it as... a government official, perhaps a lunkhead governor of a giant western state, who pretends the emergency is eternal to hold on to power. But
it's the feeling. The term perfectly embodies the dizzying sense of lurching from one unprecedented event to another as we wonder bleakly what new horrors might be around the corner.
That's good writing.
I definitely have that feeling and have had it for quite some time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
In fact, that might be my word of the day. That is a good definition right there. That is what it feels like, isn't it, everybody? Mm-hmm. It just, it feels like we go from one, this has never happened in my lifetime or anybody's life in some cases, to another. And it feels like, okay, what's the next one? All the time.
I need a Luke that reflects that. You know, I want people to look at my Luke and realize, oh, he's expressing the perma crisis that has infused all of our lives with gaslighty something or other.
You need a Luke.
Susness.
You need a Luke that isn't sus but covers your dad bod.
Right. Precisely.
And you can keep telling people, no, I Luke great, even if you don't, and try to gaslight them, but I'm not sure it will work.
No, not if they have eyes. Charles C.W. Cook, one of our favorite writers, just published a piece, When Journalists Become Speech Police, about how your social terrorists are just looking for somebody to persecute online. It's good stuff. We'll have that later. Plus a major China update.
Okay, all on the way. Stay here.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
An obvious oversight about all the economic reporting around Black Friday and Cyber Monday. We'll get to an hour two, among other things.
Yeah, I know where you're going with that. The quality of journalism, just terrible. Charles C.W. Cook is an absolutely terrific writer. Writes for a number of publications, including the National Review. Piece he just published, When Journalists Become Speech Police. I'll cram as much as I can into this segment. I thought it was brilliant, but I love this. Call it Cook's First Law. Whatever the story, however complex its details, members of the American press will react by announcing who must be forbidden to speak going forward. This is what too many journalists are now. Not firefighters, not mediators, not conveyors of vital information, but zealous obscurantists staffing would-be censorship agencies. In comes the news, and within minutes, out comes the latest justification for shutting everyone up. A mentally ill homeless man attacks Nancy Pelosi's husband with a hammer? That's the Republican Party's fault for running political ads against Pelosi, and it must stop. A disturbed man shoots up a gay club in Colorado Springs, Colorado. That's the fault of Americans who object to drag shows for kindergartners, and they must be quiet. Elon Musk plans to moderate Twitter with a lighter hand that will cause havoc and put lives at risk, and it must be prevented at all costs. All those examples, by the way, had quotes around some of the phrases because they're actually in major American publications.
And he talks about how at least the censors of the past were open about what they were doing and why they were doing it. He says today's, by contrast, are pathologically determined to euphemize it because they're vaguely aware that there's something untoward about members of the press being censors, essentially. Their rules come couched in language of necessity. Once upon a time, everything was speech. Now there is speech as classified and approved by media sentinels, but there is disinformation, hatred and hate speech, and even stochastic terrorism. I haven't run across that.
Oh, that's a big thing right now. We'll have to talk about that later.
Oh, okay, cool. One might sum the capriciousness with which free expression is now trampled with one of those irregular verbs. It's an obscure reference to a British comedy, but I report, you harass. He should go to jail for incitement, using the same phrase. You know, freedom for me, not for thee. Let's see. Worse still is the grotesque tendency for members of the press to cast their transparently self-serving determinations as raw scientific truths. It's not the opinion of NBC, Axios, or The Washington Post that Twitter would be left as it is. It's a fact, as determined by the experts. That these experts have been repeatedly proven to be full of it. Remember when the entirely legitimate Hunter Biden laptop story was a Russian disinformation campaign and therefore needed to be suppressed just before the election? That seems not to matter. Nor indeed does it seem to matter that a great many of our arbiters of truth are rank hypocrites and contemptible lunatics. The temptation to cast one's preferences as a fact is a strong one. And for now, at least, many modern journalists seem entirely incapable of resisting it.
Yeah, the Twitter thing is so weird. Like, I just do not get what all the angst is from mainstream media and everybody on the left about the whole Elon Twitter thing. What exactly are you mad about?
Yeah. Well, and what's really interesting is that it's being cast now as fact, not angst, but fact that, well, as everybody knows, Elon Musk will turn Twitter into a fascist.
Has turned.
Garden. That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah. Twitter is already a fascist garden of hatred and violence.
Right.
When there's no evidence, none, to that end. I love this example. It's a good one. Last week, the New York Times' Michelle Goldberg conceded at the outset of her piece on the shooting at Club Q in Colorado Springs that police are still investigating the motive. And then, having duly covered her ass with that caveat, she proceeded merrily along as if there were no need to wait for the facts of the case to be determined. Throwing caution to the wind, Goldberg proposed that because, quote, we know that the suspect is facing hate crime charges and that the attack took place in a climate of escalating anti-gay and anti-trans violence and threats of violence. That's a quote. Wait, is it? She could write the column she'd wanted to write all along. Among the causes of the entirely predictable massacre, again a quote, Goldberg insisted among the causes were the right, Chris Rufo, Florida legislators, Governor Ron DeSantis's press secretary, QAnon, Republicans and Republican-aligned groups, the Proud Boys and other demonstrators, Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, The Daily Wire's Matt Walsh, and Ben Shapiro. Those are all quotes from the article. These people, groups, and phenomena, Goldberg concluded, quote, don't get to duck responsibility if a sick man with a gun took them seriously. But that if is pretty important, though, isn't it? Charles Cook writes. And then I wish I had time to read the second paragraph, but there, it goes into the Gabby Gifford shooting, Sarah Palin being blamed for it, the shooting at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando that turned out to have been chosen at random, on and on and on. They're wrong again and again and again, linking people to responsibility for these shootings. Hypocrites and censors.
How are the protests going in China, among other things on the way? If you missed an hour to the podcast,
Armstrong and Getty.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Viking. Committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.